Welcome to the podcast of Revival Life Church, a spirit-filled multicultural church in Boca Raton, Florida. If you'd like more information about Revival Life Church or Pastor Carl Thomas, find us on the web at revivallifechurch.org.
So I just asked us a couple people who've joined us in the last year to kind of just talk about what's happened in their life in the last year since they joined our little church family here. There's many others, but I just asked these three because they are at the pre-service meeting. I'm going to be honest. So go ahead, Emmanuel. Tell everybody your story.
So I came, I was backsliding pretty much. And yeah. And I was invited by Andres and Josh to come to church. And
can y'all hear him?
Okay. I was invited by Andres and Josh to come to church. And I was like, okay, you know, I've been to church before. Like, whatever, same routine. I come to church, and, like, as soon as I come in, I'm like, wow, this feels different. I don't know what's going on. Like, why do I feel like crying, and why do I feel like God's here? Like, it was just amazing. Like, I got a hug from Josh, and I literally felt like Jesus hugged me. Like, it was him. I was like, wow, like, that's not something you normally feel at a church. Like, I've been to church before, and that's not something usual, like, common. So, you know, make a story shorter. Like,
don't make it short. We got time. Go ahead.
Okay. So I just continue to come to church, and, you know, just coming, I'm like, wow, this is awesome. This is awesome. Like, I kept coming, and God and just kept showing me, like, I love you, you know. Like, I don't care where you've been. I don't care what you've done. I don't care about that. Like, come on. We have stuff to do. Like, I don't care. Like, I love you. That's what matters. And as I kept coming, and I just kept, you know, talking to people and saying, like, you know, this is where I'm coming from. Like, and just really being honest with them. Like, hey, you know, I struggle with this. Like, I'm a man. I struggle with this. Like, you know, I see that you guys have some ability to teach me about, you know, you're my same age. What can I learn from you? Like, what is it that you've, how have you conquered this? What's the victory you, like, how does the victory look in your life?
Yeah.
And they've just, you know, talking to different people and them really allowing them to teach me and speak into my life. And just making myself really, really, really vulnerable where it's like, it's scary. It's like, wow, like, I don't want you to know this, but I'm going to let you know it. And it's like, it's not like at a normal church where they're like, oh, well, you know, well, let's pray about that, see what happens. Like, no, okay, that's fine. God's better. Like, I know, I see God is great in you. Like, God has plans for you. Like, and it's like God was confirming, like, I love you. Like, I'm not condemning you. I love you. And just continuing coming, like, I've just felt the increase of relationship with people that I used to not have. I would shy away from. Like, I've been breaking out of that shell. And it's awesome. And I remember, like, one time I came to church and I had emailed a pastor about that I would just deal with fear. Like, just, it was crazy. Like, fear of the dark and stuff. Like, I'm 23 and I'm fear of the dark. That's not cool. So, yeah. And I just emailed pastor. I'm like, pastor, this is what I deal with. I just became vulnerable to that and, you know, got prayed for. And it's like, from that day, it's like, okay, that's not going to affect me. Like, that's a lie. I don't have to live that way. So, yeah. And
you know, that doesn't sound like a big deal unless it's your fear. And then it's a big deal. Because I don't know if you know this, it gets dark every day.
Yeah. And just really feeling that connection, like, with family, like, something that I know Ron stresses a lot is or that he loves so much is his community. And I could say that about everybody else that, you know, is in community, that community is really a big deal. Like, when you get in community and you just start, like, sharing your life with people and just, like, oh, you know, I'm going through this, but, oh, you're going through that, wow. Oh, you know, that's not cool, but God still loves you. Like, when you can say that to somebody else, it's like, wow, I was at that place. Now I could, you know, help this person too. Like, God is using me. I'm like, whoa, I didn't know you were using me, God, but cool. It's like coming naturally. It's like,
amen.
Awesome.
Yeah. Give it up for Emmanuel, everybody. That's good. That's good, man. That's a good word. I didn't screen these, so I'm hoping, you know, they come out good. And that's good. I'm going to give a little caveat to his testimony. When you talk about, you know, like, I don't want anybody to know this about me, Christians, our mind goes crazy. We start thinking the most defiled things you could. I've walked with him. It's not that big a deal. It was to him. It's just All right? It's, you understand what I'm saying here? I'm just trying to cover his testimony here. Like, to him, it was very big. It's just not that. If I told you, you'd be disappointed, you know? So it's just not that scandalous. So we love you, man. Go ahead. Tell everybody your name.
Hi, I'm Rolandi.
Rolandi, how did you find out about Revival Life Church?
Well, before Revival Life, I was a burden carrier.
I'm sorry, what?
Christian.
What? Okay.
And I prayed and prayed every night, crying and asking God, like, why am I a Christian and why am I so sad? Like, being a Christian, being sad at the same time doesn't make sense.
It really doesn't.
And
can you guys hear her?
I was at work one night. I decided to have two jobs for no reasons because I was bored. And I was at my second job. I was tired, and they told me I had to stay late. And I was like, oh, gosh, I don't want to stay late, but whatever. And it was empty. There was nobody. I worked at
She forgot. See, the Lord will just cleanse your memory.
I worked at
He says he'll sprinkle your conscience with his blood, and it just... I'm sorry,
and
go ahead.
And then there was a black car, a Nissan to be exact, that kept driving around. And I was like, that person is crazy. What are they doing? And they finally decided to come inside, and it was Diane, Lydia, Chelsea.
Confirmation.
It was Diane, Lydia, Chelsea, I believe Jen was there, and Destiny. And, okay, they came in, and I was walking away, and Destiny asked me, she's like, hey, are you saved? Do you know about the Holy Ghost and stuff? And I was like, wow, I've been praying for this. Yes. I was like, hi, I've been waiting for you guys. And then we talked and they prayed for me and they invited me to church, and I was supposed to come that Sunday. And I ended up having some issues and I didn't come that Sunday. But then I told my cousins, I was like, hey, this is what happened. And they're like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. We have to go. Because we were going to a church all the way in Miami, and it was a drive. So the next Sunday, we ended up going. And truthfully, when I got in, I felt freedom, like a freedom that I've never felt before. And like if the old Merlandi would be in church, just standing, looking at people, okay, I prayed and leave. But that day, I actually stood in the front and I worshiped. Hallelujah. My first time in the church. Hallelujah. That was not me. That was God. So, but ever since then, I still carried burdens and I was still, it was still heavy in my heart. Like there was still stuff I didn't deal with that I thought was nothing. Like little, small little things that you would think would not make a big deal in your life. They do. Let me tell you, they do. And people prayed for me. They prayed and they walked me through it. And especially talking to Pastora, I would never, ever talk to anybody about my problems. But it felt so easy to do so with people in this church. Like,
you're good.
I'm sorry.
No, why are you apologizing? Go ahead.
I mean, it's great to be in a family where you don't have to be afraid to talk to anybody, and you don't have to be afraid to ask anybody to pray for you. Like, they support any decisions that you have, and like I've never had that before. Like being a Christian carrying burdens for no reasons and having nobody to go and talk to, and you come to a church and everybody's. Like, they welcome you with open arms. And I was like, I want to be like that. And it's easy. It's very easy. Like, it's not that hard.
And now she's a leader in the greeter ministry. Isn't that awesome?
Yeah.
Is that it? You good? I think she's effectively done. Give it up for Rolandi. Woo! Okay, you've not abandoned the children, right?
No,
Our Revival Kids Junior Director took over, so you can give a testimony. Go ahead.
Yes,
my name is... Your sticker's coming off there. You don't want to fall on you. There you go.
Okay.
There you go. Good. Tell everybody your name.
My name is Vanessa. Okay. So when I came here, I was backsliding, like, really bad. But
not a little bit.
And I felt like I was like this.
Oh. We teach people to preach here. Just right like there, this. And you just kind of just get this talk. One hand is good. Oh, okay. It's not gonna go anywhere.
Okay.
Act like this isn't happening, right?
Like that. Okay.
And talk straight and just don't put it in front of your mouth.
Oh.
There you go. Right
okay.
There.
Great. It is. It's hard. Okay. Because I want to go like this. Okay.
They won't know what you're saying. Go ahead.
So I came. And I was feeling hungry, and I was like,
Me too. I've been fed, I'll tell you what. Oh, go ahead.
I was tired of, I was actually tired of backsliding, and I was like, okay, this can't be it for me. Like, there has to be more to life. There has to be more. And I already knew of God, but I was like, I feel like I've lost connection with him. Like, I've lost relationship with him, and it's like, how do I get this back? And Andres and Josh, they would have, like, worship nights at their house. So I remember I would go with Emmanuel and stuff, and I would feel, like, the presence, and I would feel, and I would be like, wow. And, like, they would always invite him and me to church. And I'd be like, no, I'm good, you know, I'm good. It's like pride. I'm good, no, I'm good. I already have a church. I'm good. I was not good. And so the first day that I came here, all I saw was just God just welcoming me back home, like saying, "Welcome home, daughter. Like I'm here. Like it's okay. It doesn't matter what you've done. Like come here." I mean, I went running to the altar. I mean, yeah. I went running and I completely laid it out and I laid it all down for him and I said, "I'm so sorry. Like I don't want anything of what I did. I don't want it. Like, I want forgiveness. Like, I want your heart. Like, you know, I want to know who you are."
Yes.
You know, and I was like, I want to know your love. I want to know what it's like to be your daughter. I don't, you know, I didn't know. And the first day that I got here, he just embraced me. And the people around, it's just the love that I felt coming here just really penetrated through all the darkness, through all the sin, through everything. And I was just like overwhelmed. And it's so funny because the enemy's such a liar. He goes, the first thing I said to myself, I said, no, I don't want to go to Revival Life Church because I don't want to go where anybody knows me. Little did I know, only two people knew me, not the whole church. So I was like, that's a lie. Nobody knows me. I can go there. It's okay because I wanted a fresh start. And then I was like, whatever, like, shut up, move out of my way. Like, I'm going. And ever since I started being here, I would shelter myself a lot because I just closed myself out, and now being here and having the community and with the girls and with Lydia and Diane and Chelsea, yeah, and all of them, and it's like they're, you know, real people with real issues, but it's like they love you out of it, you know? It's like it's my whole big fear was like I didn't want to be judged, but it's like there's nothing of that here. It's just the love. The love,
hallelujah,
of God that just really embraced,
hallelujah,
me.
How's life now?
Right.
Life's good?
It's good. His the glory is for him. It's just like I feel the love, I see the favor, like relationship with my mom has even gotten like this much better. It's like relationships everywhere. It's just like it's God.
Real quick for the folks who when they hear you say relationship with your mom, blah blah blah. You're an adult, right?
Yes.
All right. So just say, "Oh, you're 13," of course. No, she's not. She's a grown woman, all right? She's just very youthful. Give it up, everybody. That's good stuff, right? You guys good? Did you bring a Bible? I'm going to preach a very, very brief message. And I've lied about that before, but this time I smell burgers. The grill master is going to conquer the dead cow. And we're going to eat it. Some people won't eat that, you know. There's people who want to cast out devils but are scared to eat chicken. You know, like you got to, some point you just got to say, I can eat all things. Rise, kill, eat. Jesus is about the barbecue. Rise, kill, eat. I'm just trying to say. If you got a Bible, go ahead and open it somewhere. I'm going to get there in a minute. I'm going to talk very briefly. If you're just joining us for the first time, I welcome you. We're going to have a little bit of different service because there's many of our volunteers who are waiting to go down a water slide, and I don't want to hold that up. And remember, there's no gambling allowed on the water slide activities. Hey, I just have an exhortation in my heart. I want to share a very brief message that I believe the Lord has been talking to me. And I kind of want to set some direction for where we're going as a house. And next week, Steve and Sandra Long are going to be here. It's going to be an amazing time. Just really, really, really solid people whom we love have treated us as family. Lord spoke something so simple to me recently. If you've got to, go ahead and turn your Bible to Luke 24. We'll start there. The Lord recently spoke to me. I want to talk to you who have a dream in your heart. You have a dream, and it's still a dream. It's still in the dream state. You haven't realized it yet, and sometimes the enemy will have you doubt that you ever received the dream, whether the dream is real. I want to talk to you a little bit about stewarding the dream of God. Luke chapter 24, we're going to start in verse 45. Of course, at this point of the story, Jesus, just to kind of speed things up a little bit here, Jesus, of course, was revealed to be the Messiah. He was murdered, even though he never did anything wrong. He was murdered, but he didn't stay dead because that's just who he is. He rose from the dead. And at this point of our story, he has not yet ascended to heaven, but he's talking to some of the disciples. And we catch him here in Luke 24 before his ascension, starting in verse 45. He had just fed them some fish. He says, then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. Verse 46. And he said to them, thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise again from the dead the third day. And that repentance for forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in his name to all the nations beginning from Jerusalem. Now, at this point, he's talking in the past tense. If you remember from school, there is a past tense, a present, and a future. And right now he's talking about the past. He says, it was written in the scriptures that I would come and I would suffer and I would die, but I would rise again on the third day, talking past tense. Verse 48, you are witnesses of these things, present tense. Amen? We're walking together here, right? Verse 49, and behold, I am sending forth the promise of my Father upon you. I am sending this upon you, but you are to stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high, future tense. Started in the past, said this is where we are. Listen, here's where you're going. Many of us find ourselves somewhere in that between the present and the future. We have a testimony, just like them right here. We have a testimony of what God has done in our life, where we've been, what's been happening. And we also have a testimony of what he's said to us, what he's revealed to us in the secret place, what he's called us to, the wonderful things that he has for us in the future. Yet and still, it's still in the future. And to many of us, we get upset because we don't see it in the now. And there's so many people in this house who want to do great things for God. There's so many people in this house who aren't even looking for credit. They aren't looking for glory, aren't looking for fame. And as a matter of fact, if you want to be a part of this house, at some point you have to surrender part of what you consider to be yours. Great athletic teams says, you know, it's the we before the me. It's the we before the me. Now, when you get cultic when you start saying it's the leader before me. That's a cultic tendency there. If you notice our testimonies this morning, people get a little weird about Christianity where people get radically changed. Anybody a first-generation Christian and you got radically saved and all of a sudden your family starts worrying about you? Like, you weren't worried when I was clubbing. No, that was okay. When I was living a horrible life and, you know, things were spinning out of control, that was okay. But now that I'm devoting my life to God, all of a sudden you're worried. Isn't that funny? If you were worried, you'd have brought me to church. If you were, you know what I'm saying? Not, anyway. And so people get concerned when people become radical Christians. And there's a danger that we follow people. There's a danger that we give our lives to people. And the only person worthy of our life is Jesus. That's the only one. And if you notice the testimonies this morning, there weren't testimonies, you know, when Carl came into my life, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, Carl said this to me, and Pastor said that, and they didn't start quoting stuff that I said. Why? Because we have a community here. We have a community that transforms people. And so you heard about different people, different names that have poured into people. And literally, you have to some degree, to come fully into the family of God. Now, I'm not talking about Revival Life Church. I'm talking about Big C Church. To come into the Church of Jesus Christ, you have to give up a me for the we. There is a me that has to die so the we can grow. When you want to stay an individual, people, you know, I don't believe in going to church. I believe we are. Well, then you're wrong. I believe we are the church. Yeah, we are the church. You are not the church. We are the church. I don't go to church. I am the church. Well, that's a lie from the devil. I don't go to church. Well, that's not what the Bible says. So when you publish your scripture and God gives us amen, you let me know about it. But until then, I'm going to stick with what this word of God says, and we're going to go to church. And we are going to be the church. If you and God would have worked it out, all these testimonies would have been, you know, everything was great, and then I went to church, and I realized I didn't need that, and everything, you know, I just, no. I got involved in community. I got involved in community, my life began to change because my life began to collide with other people's lives. And when my life collided with their lives, I had to glean what they had, and all three of these people who gave testimonies today are now serving the body because they came with something that the body needs. It wasn't now I sit at the feet of all these people. They're running my life. No. They came with what they had, and now we're all in community. Are you? I don't know who that's for. It's not even part of my message, but if you're visiting us today, stick around a while. Enjoy friendships. Enjoy friends that you don't have to worry if people are lying about you and gossiping about you. It's crazy that people worry about that in church, right? You go to a church and you worry about people gossiping about you. Here was a funny part of the testimony. This isn't even my message. I don't know who this is for. Vanessa's up here, and she's serving now back in the children with the babies. She didn't want anybody to know her business. Why? Because she'd gone to churches where when people know your business, they hold it over your head. How crazy is that? I don't think that's what Jesus was thinking when he set this whole thing up, right? Well, I remember back when you were... Isn't that what they said about him? All right. Just get that, whoever that's for. Church is good. Just get it in your heart so I can move on. You good? But here we have Jesus tells them, listen, right now I'm sending you. I'm sending the Spirit. Wait in Jerusalem. Say wait in Jerusalem. Wait in Jerusalem. You see how long he told them to wait? Till. Wait until. When you get power. Wait till you get power. How long are we supposed to wait here until we get power? What's that look like? I don't know. I just got to believe we'll know it when it happens. There is, in Scripture, it's funny, there's a tension we have to manage. There's times that God said to the Israelites, everywhere you set your foot is yours. So when they stopped walking, their territory stopped expanding. As a matter of fact, if you study the Scriptures, they did not take the entire land that God had for them because they never walked the whole land. And so if you study what land God had promised the Israelites and what land they wound up occupying, it's smaller because they never walked the whole land. And so we have to learn to obey God when he says us to go do. However, I have found that that is the easy part for many people, going and doing and having control of your destiny. That's the easy part for some people. But there's other times that God says, listen, I just want you to go and wait. Just go wait. Well, Father, it didn't seem like anything is happening right now. Oh, something's happening. What is it? You're waiting. But that doesn't feel like anything. God's like, I don't call that nothing. You know what God calls that? Faithfulness. And the last I checked, it's a fruit of the Spirit. See, your ability to wait on God's promise is evidence of God working in your life. When you're able to hope beyond hope, that there's no reason I should still be hoping that this will come to pass, yet I still hope. Yet I still believe. Yet I still proclaim my promise. Yet I still know that I know that I know that I know this is coming to pass because God spoke it to me, and I'm not going to deny Jesus in my life. You see, we sang this song. I believe it was the last song that we sang. And we added a little verse on the end of that. Why? Well, the Spirit gave us another verse to that song by the Holy Spirit. And now, us to sing that song without that verse would be denying what God has promised us. Whoever wrote that song, that was their song. That's awesome. But now it's our song. Because God spoke it a little different to us. Now, we still, you know, they get credit for writing it and all that. And, you know, we put the little CCLI number on it. But now this is our song because God has spoken to us through it. Now, you can read this scripture all you want, and I hope you read it every day, and I hope you read this Bible every day. I hope you commit it to memory. I hope you study it. I hope you learn the Greek and the Hebrew behind it. I hope you learn hermeneutics. I pray that you... However, if it doesn't become life, it's pointless. Amen. The whole point of studying the scripture is so it sets up a framework of hope and expectation of God. It's got to lead us into experience. It has to lead us into a vibrant life of knowing Him and making Him known. Let's look at Luke here again. The Lord spoke this to me this morning. Luke 24:45. You guys doing okay? I'm going to end here in a couple of minutes. It says, now if you remember, He made them a meal on the shore, right? You with me here? They ate some fish, right? Verse 45, then He opened their minds to understand the scriptures. Many Christians stop there. There's whole branches of Christianity that stop there. Oh, we understand the scriptures. That ought to be enough. Do you see this? Then He opened their mind to understand the scriptures. So, well, that's all we needed. Then why would He tell them to go get something more? You better have more on your plate when Jesus Christ shows up than to say, I read the book that was written about you. I read the book. He said, okay, so you understand the scriptures now, right? Yeah. They point to me. Your book points to me. Now, here's what I need you to do. Go wait in Jerusalem. But I understand the scriptures. I don't have to wait for something else. That's all there is. I got the Bible. That's all I need right there. It's just, it's a word of God. Sola scriptura. Me and the Bible is a church. No, that's not what Jesus said. It's not what Jesus says. Jesus didn't just say we just need the Bible and that's all we need right there. No. He said you need the Holy Ghost. You get that scripture, and without the Holy Ghost, you are not complete. So He says, wait in Jerusalem. Wait in Jerusalem. You see, sometimes the victory, hear me, sometimes the victory looks like you not running away. Sometimes the victory is not necessarily you coming into the thing God promised, but you not running away scared. Sometimes the victory is just like, I'm still here. I am still here being faithful to what God told me to do. It's sad to hear people who had a promise, they had a call, God spoke so very clearly to them, and then they're like, they just get tired. And a new idol pops up in their heart, and because they didn't allow community, they didn't value this community around them that God wants to set up, they allow an idol to pop up in their heart, and they begin to follow this idol. And listen, this idol doesn't have to be alcoholism or witchcraft or something. This idol, it's often your own pride. It's often, I start exalting the me over the we. What's in it for me? What's in it for me? What's in it for you? Being found faithful by Jesus. That's what's in it for you. The whole parable of the talents. God gave everybody a little bit of talent in the story that Jesus told. He gave everybody a little bit of talent. And some had a handful and they buried it. And some had a few less. I mean, they had a handful and they sowed it. Some had a few and they sowed it. Somebody had one talent and they buried it in the ground and Jesus came back. And the one who had a bunch, they multiplied it and He said, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into my rest. See, when we create our own rest, we it's really just another word for laziness. But the one who did not serve Jesus with his one talent, like, oh, this is all I got. You don't even need this. I'm just going to chill. He said, you wicked, wicked servant. And he took the one talent that he had and he gave it to the rich. Now, in America, we like taking from the rich and giving to the poor, unless you're rich. And you don't like that so much. But in this parable, Jesus takes the one little talent this broke man had and he gave it to the rich guy. That violates our sense of justice. But Jesus values faithfulness. He values faithfulness. He values you sticking to your word. He values you showing up faithfully. He values you honoring him with your life. He values you honoring him with your money. He values you honoring him, hear me, with your mouth. He values it. He values that when you hear people gossiping about somebody, you don't enter into it. And you said, I'm not gonna slander that person. I'm gonna believe the best for them. He values that. He values when you hear gossip and you don't defend yourself, but you stay faithful to God. You say, I'm not gonna enter into the fights. I'm not gonna enter into that because I live in another kingdom where that isn't residing. Jesus, I remember very, very, very vividly when God told me to start this church. Not something I wanted to do. I used to brag about that. Now it's to my shame that I was not healed in my heart enough to follow him wholeheartedly. And so we started this outreach, and this outreach turned into a church. And that's the very, very short version. And God has very specifically given me a call about communities of revival. And I'm here to let you know, he spoke to me very clearly the other week, and I said, Lord, what's happening does not look like what I believe you showed me. What I'm seeing is not specifically what I thought was going to happen. And the Lord showed me. I showed you the wait till. From now till then, show yourself faithful. And as I've shown myself faithful in what he's given me right now, let me say this. There's when you're a church planter, there is a temptation to look at every person as what they can do for us. So say you're starting a ministry, and many of you will start ministries all over the world. There's many people in this room that 20 years from now, people from around the world will come to their conferences. It's just, there's people in this room. There's people in this room that people will study in the next generation and say, were they at that church also? Did all these people really come out of that little town? It's in this room, in this very room right here. Hear me, in this room right here. And when you start your ministry, someone's going to show up, and you're just going to have maybe a guy on the keyboard, and people are going to show up and say, do you play guitar? Do you play drums by any chance? Because this is what we need. And God has shown me, and I've learned, it's not about what we need, it's about what you need. And as we have stopped, and we have address people as individuals, and we've not looked to harness what you have for us, but what we have for you. God has grown our little family here. He's grown our family, and now people who just came not knowing how to hear God are leaders. That's what we do. We raise up leaders of community. But here's what I wanted to tell you. God showed me everything I've worked on till now is still wineskin. It's all wineskin. We live in a generation that wants it now. We want a generation, you know, I've been in the drive-thru for 6 minutes. Why don't I have a whole meal? Where there was, you know, time that if you didn't work in spring, you don't eat in fall. And we're just like, how come I've been here 5 minutes and I don't have a full meal in front of me? And God is, here's what's so amazing about what God does. God will mess with your mind. He'll mess with your understanding. He'll mess with your pride. He'll say, oh, you're so awesome. Oh, I'm so lucky that you're in my church. That's so great. You've done so many things. How about you go to a church where the leaders are average age 22? You're like, well, I'm far beyond that now. Don't want to be childlike, huh? Awesome. I'll just remember that. I'll remember that. Hey, can you serve? Here's the one I love. Hey, can you serve in the greeter ministry? Well, I'll pray on that. Yeah, why don't you ask Jesus if he wants greeters here? Why don't you do that? Yeah, we don't know what his will is on whether or not we have greeters. Go ahead and watch a fast on that one while you're at it. Well, I'll pray on that one, brother. We're brothers? I don't think so. Because if we were, you'd know any greeters. Did I say that? Scratch that. That's not going to be on the video. We're just acting like I didn't say that. I got a cold. I'm a little feisty right now. Let me reel that back in. I love you guys. If you're too lazy to serve, that's okay. We're going to eat some burgers in a second. I'm sorry. I just wanted to share a couple things with you here. We don't even need ushers. That's the funny part. We have more greeters we know what to do with. We're not hard up here. Now, the nursery. I want to share two scriptures with you, then we're going to go eat food. Don't cheer when my message is almost done. That's my daughter over there. Can I tell you a funny story? Can I tell a story about Isaac when I was at the Brazilian church? Can I tell you a funny story? This is family time for a second, all right? I never get invited to speak anywhere. Ever. Just nobody invites me anywhere. I guess because of comments like I just made. I don't know. But I'm speaking at a Brazilian church. It's the first time I ever got invited anywhere. It might be the only time. I'm not sure. But I have an interpreter who failed to tell me they don't really know how to interpret. And a good 2/3 of the way through the message, they just stopped. They just gave up. And I'm like, wow, this is painful because I don't speak Portuguese. And I'm trying to preach, right? And my family is on the front row because I just assumed there would be childcare. I was wrong. My wife's like, what if they don't? I'm like, of course they're going to have it. And they were babies, right? My son was like 5. I'm trying really hard to preach, right? I'm trying really hard to do a good job since my interpreter is only giving like every 5th word and then giving up. My son on the front row says to my wife, I'm on stage and I can hear. He says, why is this taking so long? My wife is like, shut up. He said, but this is so boring. I love you, son. And some of you are like, amen. No. I got a word for some of you that I'm going to release you. Exodus chapter 14, you don't have to go there. You know the story. They've left Egypt. And all of a sudden, the Egyptians start chasing them. And they're kind of stuck now at the water. They don't know what they're going to do. Verse 13 of the 14th chapter of Exodus. Moses said to the people, do not fear. Stand by and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. That's a word for some of you today. I feel it so strong in my spirit. The Lord is saying, just stand and watch the salvation of the Lord. I'm amazed at the faithfulness of the young people of this house. I'm amazed because at 21, 22, 23, 24, I was not living for Jesus. And I lived for me, and I had bad attitudes, and I had just nothing, not a lot of really good things going on in my life. And I was not a faithful person, wasn't even a really good employee. And we have 21, 22, 23, 24-year-olds in this church that will meet 3, 4, 5 times a week with people just to see them come into God's victory. I don't need any all-stars in this church. I don't need, I got baptized in the Jordan River people. I don't need that. If you got baptized in Jordan, that's awesome. What I need is humble people, who love Jesus and want to see Boca Raton transformed for the glory of Jesus and recognize it's going to take a little less me and a little more we. I'm not impressed with, back in 1972, I was at a Catherine Kuhlman meeting and she prophesied over me. I'm not as impressed with that as people who say, Pastor, I can't get together tonight because I'm still meeting with this person because they're going through this struggle and I'm just hanging out with them so they're not alone. That's what I'm looking for. I don't care how many people have laid hands on you. I don't care if so many people have laid hands on you that there's an indentation in your forehead that looks like Randy Clark's fist. I don't care. There's people, that's their whole spiritual resume of who's laid hands on them. And I'm like, and how many people have you discipled? What church do you actually serve in? Well, I don't serve in any church, brother. I'm an apostle. Well, I don't know even what that means right now. Thank you. I'm feisty, honey. I got a cold. I love you people. The people who serve in this house, there is a great, great inheritance coming. There's a great inheritance coming. Mike, come up. See, look, I'm almost done. Look at this. This is awesome. I have more to say, but I don't want to say it. I want to pray real quick. Hear me. I want to thank you for your faithfulness the last 5 years. And some of you, even during the outreach before that. I want to thank you for your faithfulness. I want to thank you that you see the big vision, that many of you have gotten snippets of what's coming. You've seen over the horizon by faith. And some of you are like, I see my part in it and I'm not in it yet. And I'm here to let you know God sees your faithfulness. God sees your faithfulness. Hear me. He sees your faithfulness. Hear me. He sees your faithfulness. And he counts it, hear me, as righteousness. He counts it as righteousness. And so I want to honor you today. I want to honor you. We don't have a big staff. I mean, we don't, like, Mike and Lillian, they work more than, you know, many church employees. We're not on staff. We're serving Jesus. People show up in this house Friday night to set this up so people can encounter God right now. Faithful people. If you have visited this house in the last couple years on a Tuesday morning, we prayed for you by name. Every visitor, we pray for you by name. Call your name out before God. We ask Him to bless your life. Faithful people that while you're sleeping, they're praying for you. It's a big deal. All these kids. These kids are up praying for you. I want to honor your faithfulness. This party today, I honor your faithfulness. However, I would be remiss if I didn't dedicate this time right here to honor the faithfulness of God. The faithfulness of God in our midst. He's been such a very faithful God to us. He has seen us through hard times. He's opened doors when we thought there was no door. He's brought humble servants. He's brought lovers of righteousness. He's sent His Spirit. He has dwelt among us. And so right now, Jesus, we set this part of the meeting up where we just say, You are a good God. And just like the testimonies came, I thank You that we can know You, that we can know Your love, that we can encounter Your promises and Your truth. I thank You, Jesus, that we're not here alone. I'm not on this planet alone. And I don't have a lesser God. You said it's better that I go because I send You my Spirit. I thank You that we have a better portion than even the disciples had when they walked the earth. We live in the greatest day there ever has been, the days of the Holy Ghost. Thank You that You dwell among us right now. I thank You, Jesus, that Your power is here. And I thank You that You've promised us Your presence. I thank You that You've promised this house that we would never walk alone. And we say that You are here. We turn our attention to You right now, Jesus. We turn our affections toward You right now, Jesus. We turn our affections towards You. And we say that You're a good God. Listen, if you don't know what I'm talking about, this is weird to you, just close your eyes and I'm bathing you in His presence right now. Oh, hallelujah. 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 See, we're not here to lift up a man. We're not here to lift up a doctrine. We're here to lift up the name of Jesus. We're here to lift up the name of Jesus. We're here to lift up the name of Jesus. We're here to lift up the name of Jesus. We're here to lift up the name of Jesus. We're here to lift up the name of Jesus. We're here to lift His name up. We're here to let His fame grow in Boca Raton. Jesus, we're here to give our lives as an offering right now. We declare that you're worthy. You're worthy of our lives. You're worthy of our affection. You're worthy of our hope. Give me 2 minutes and I'll close out the service. But right now, the Spirit is being poured out on people right now. Hallelujah. 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 He's touching hearts right now. Touching hearts right now. We just want to honor what he does in our midst right now. He comes because we give him a place. We give him room. There we go. You good, Mike? Happy birthday, Revival Life. And Jesus, we say happy birthday to the child that you have birthed in this town. We love you, Lord. Stand to your feet if you would. We love you, Jesus. We love what you're doing in South Florida. And Father, we pray this year that it would multiply. That it would multiply.